Well, good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Today we celebrate the fourth Sunday of Lent, Laetare Sunday, which is a happy Sunday. It's a Sunday to rejoice because we're getting close to our celebration of the Lord's resurrection. The color for Easter is white, and the color for Lent is this kind of dark penitential purple. And when you mix them together, you get rose. And so that is the happy color of today. It was very appropriate because all of our readings are about light and how light enters into the world. I had my favorite Mass of the whole year is the Easter Vigil, when the whole church is pitch black. It has to start after the sun sets, and the whole church is pitch black, no candles, no lights, and all of a sudden, the light enters into the church. The light represents the Paschal candle, which represents Jesus, who said, "I am the light." And we celebrate that Jesus enters into the life. In his entering the world, light enters the world, which was there at the beginning. You know, the very first command that God ever gave in the scripture, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw that it was good. And that's the first command, and then the fall happens, and with the fall, darkness and dreariness and all that enters the world. But then comes Jesus to bring it back, to restore the light, which is a beautiful gift. A friend of mine, he went through a botany stage, and he told me how he grew two plants, and they were the same thing. It was the same size pot. And it was the same dirt and soil that he put in each one. And he watered them just the same, put the same seeds in both of them. The difference was that one he put in a darker room. Had a little bit of light, but not much. The other plant he put in a windowsill that got lots of sunlight. And it doesn't take a botanist, you know, to kind of figure out what happened there. The one that was put in the dark room, it did grow, but it didn't grow very well. It was shorter, and it didn't have a root system. It produced no fruit. It was kind of weak looking. But the one that was in the sun just grew like crazy, and it started to produce all kinds of fruit, and like the roots were deep, and it was beautiful. It was what it was supposed to be. And I just think that you and I are wired the exact same way. We are wired to need light. We are wired to need the light that is Jesus Christ. Can you imagine this man in our gospel? This is a guy who had, his whole life was darkness. Never could he have seen anything. And all of the sudden, Jesus, the light, opens up his eyes, and he could see for the first time. Could you imagine what that must have felt like? And I think about our gospel, St. Paul talking to the Ephesian church, and he says, "Get out of the darkness, because we have the light." And he's like, the works of darkness are fruitless. That's the word he uses. You are fruitless when you are in the darkness, just like that plant, you know? But when you're in the light, you bear all kinds of fruit, which is exactly what the Lord invites us to. Praise the Lord. He invites us to live in the light. And so I think our goal as Christians, our goal is to surround ourselves with as much Jesus as possible, as much light as possible, in the house, in the workplace, in the school, in everything that we do. To surround ourselves with as much light, as much Jesus as we possibly can. Which means the scriptures, it means the sacraments, it means adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, it means Holy Mass, it means holy good friends, it means service to our neighbors, it means all kinds of things. And what a joy, you know, what a joy to have the gift of light. Because as long as we live in the light, we bear fruit, we have good roots, and we are what we were made to be. But sometimes, there's a different passage in Scripture. It's in the book of John, the Gospel of John. He said, this is the verdict. Light entered the world, but people preferred the darkness. And sometimes, if we're honest, I think we do. We know what's good for us, but we walk into the darkness anyway. Jesus says no. Jesus invites us to a rich and happy, beautiful life in the light. And so long as we stay there, we'll be the men and women that He calls us to be. We celebrate our catechumens and all of the people who will be entering the church. We have about 20 who will be receiving sacraments for the first time at Easter Vigil. And you're entering. These wonderful folks are entering into the beauty of the light of Christ. And what a happy thing to be a part of your journey. I wanted to let you all know about something that we're planning to do. So long as we have a little pew survey today, and you'll see in your pews on both sides of the pews is a little half sheet of paper, or actually a third of a piece of paper, and it's about Habitat for Humanity. Shelby County has a Habitat for Humanity organization, and there's a lot of substandard housing in Shelby County. And so one thing that we are one way that we're kind of celebrating our 150th anniversary is together with St. Vincent, doing a faith build. And Habitat for Humanity is not in the business of just handing out free houses, you know. There's a big process, a screening process that a family goes through. There's always like kids involved who are living in substandard housing, you know. And so together with that family, we as people of faith work together to build a new home and a new life for them. And they're very much a part of that process. So we'd like to do a faith build if we have enough interest. And so the Pew survey is here today, so just for us to be able to gauge how much interest there might be. From other masses, I don't think we're going to have any problem whatsoever for anything. It requires a couple things from us. First of all, we have to have some manpower and woman power. People would be there to be on the builds. You might say, well, I'm not a big craftsman, you know. I've never built a house before. That's okay. They've got people there that show you what to do. Everything is needed, from painting to woodwork to plumbing and all that. But they direct you on. They direct us on how it works. I love Habitat for Humanity. If you ever get a chance, read a book by Millard Fuller called The Theology of a Hammer. And Mildred Fuller is the one that he's the founder of Habitat, and a great organization. So we just want to see. So it requires man and woman power. It requires, you might think, well, gee, I can't really do that either. I'm just not able to really physically be very able to do those kinds of things. But I can make cinnamon rolls, or I can make sandwiches. Well, hey, we need that too. The crews are in need of that. Also, and of course, in order to fund such a thing, for building materials, things along those lines, we do need to have some financial backing. Between our two parishes, they ask for $5,000. So I think we won't have any trouble with that either. So just mark that on your sheets. And when the collection time comes, if you just throw it into the collection, if you don't have a pen or pencil, you can fill it out after Mass in the narthex and just hand it over in a stack of them over there. It's a very exciting opportunity for us. By the way, high schoolers, totally welcome and encouraged to do it. I was part of Habitat for Humanity when I was in high school, and it was the only high school chapter at Bloomington High School North that was there in the country. Now there's more, but really great way to serve our brothers and sisters and in need, and also just to use our hearts and our hands, you know, to build up the kingdom of God, which is a really exciting thing. So everybody, the minimum age is 13, but we'd love it for everybody to be involved who can be. So throw that in the collection today. There is a second collection also for Catholic Relief Services today. So just know about that. God bless you all, and at this time I'd like to invite our catechumens forward.